According to the Department of Veterans Affairs, between 11 and 20% of vets of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, in a given year. We're going to spend the next 2 days hearing from two vets who fall into that category. Fidel Gomez Torres served in the Navy. He's with me in the studio. Fidel, welcome.
Thank you.
And we're also joined by Isaiah James, who's an Army veteran. He's in New York. Isaiah, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And let me start with both of you. And first of all, thank you both for your service. Isaiah, let me start with you. Tell me about your military service. You were deployed 3 times.
Yes, I was deployed to Iraq 2 times and Afghanistan 1 time. My job in the Army was an 11 Bravo, which is an infantryman. My first deployment was 15 months from October 06 to January 08. My second deployment was December 08. to December 2009, and my final deployment was June 2010 to May 2011. I was wounded in service. I loved being in the Army, but not for the reasons you would think. I loved the kinship and the camaraderie and the brotherhood that it provided. And once I got hurt, I couldn't do it anymore, so the Army medically retired me. So at 27 years old, I was literally a retiree, and that's when all the problems hit me, when one day I was in the service and the next day, literally the next day, I was just a civilian out on my own.
And that's when you started to deal with PTSD right away?
Yes. I didn't really deal with it while I was in because you're surrounded by, like, everybody's going through the same things, so you don't really want to manifest your problems on anybody else. But it's when you get outside the military and the civilian world is a lot different, and you're on your own, and you don't really have that support network there, and that's when, for me, that's when all the problems started.
Fidel, what about you? Tell me about your service in the Navy.
I joined in 2008. I had one deployment to Afghanistan. I spent 10 months in Kandahar. The deployment included a leg before and after, so total deployment time was 15 months. I was a builder, so I was attached to a construction battalion. Much of the work that we were doing in Kandahar was expanding the airfield, building some facilities, expanding the facilities there. And I came back in 2011. I absolutely enjoyed my time deployed. I enjoyed my time in the Navy. In terms of when my PTSD started manifesting itself, it took me a really long time to give it a name. And I think that for me, I was just having a hard time when I returned, adjusting. And, you know, I was living in New York City at that time. New York City could be a very overwhelming city. I felt overly stimulated by everything that was going on. And I started to realize that I carried a lot of anger. It would really bother me when people would complain about how hot the subway was, because I would always reference it back to where I had just came from. So everything was always connected to where I had just came from. And in my head at that time, no one had any reason to complain about anything. But of course, that's not the case. You know, sometimes we have bad days, people complain about it. So for me, I started noticing it in terms of my temperament, my anger. I was very quick to get upset and annoyed. And, you know, it wasn't until last year when I actually started seeking treatment. So almost an 8-year journey. To finally figuring out this is what it is. It's okay. This is what I need to do in order to make it better.
Isaiah, when you hear Fidel talk about that in New York City, and you're in New York now, do you have that same issue, just the overwhelming nature of a city, or maybe people complaining about things that seem trivial to you?
Yes, absolutely. But I do have to remember that I am in the civilian world now because one thing, my wife, my lovely, lovely wife, we'll go outside and she'll be like, it's hot. And I can remember back to the days of my first deployment. Literally, it was 130 degrees outside and we were going on 8-hour foot patrols. So, yes, and I always call, you know, our problems first world problems. But, yes, New York City can be a very overstimulating place. And I speak to the fact that I do my therapy at the VA near my house and it's helped me get over being in New York City a lot, and spending time with my wife is probably my main therapeutic thing.
How else has PTSD manifested itself for you, Isaiah?
mine was really severe. Mine was really, really bad. I would snap on anybody for any little thing. And I'm a big guy. I'm 6'8". I'm 300 pounds. So I'm a very large individual. So I would literally sit at home at night and just sit up all night staring in the darkness, waiting for somebody to come through a door that wasn't coming through a door. When I knew I needed help was when I was younger, and I was sitting in my bathroom on the floor with a giant bottle of scotch and a bottle of sleeping pills and just crying uncontrollably, not wanting to be here anymore, not wanting to live with this anymore, because I have seen so much pain and so much death and destruction throughout my deployments. And this little voice inside my head just said, you can't give up. So that's when I started seeking help, and it literally has saved my life.
Did you ever, Fidel, think about suicide?
No.
And Isaiah, after that happened, when you were in your bathroom with scotch and pills, have you ever had that happen again?
No.
So let's talk about how each of you managed to get help, or when you decided to get help. Fidel, I'll start with you.
After returning from my deployment, we were told that we should go to the VA, register with the VA, get an evaluation. And a lot of my friends were going, and they were being diagnosed with PTSD and TBI. And I felt fearful of going and getting diagnosed.
Why?
Well, I feel like there was such a stigma, and still is, around having PTSD. There is this idea of brokenness that you carry. And for me, I've always been high functioning. I've always been an overachiever. And the idea that something had changed fundamentally and that I could no longer be the person that I've always known myself and had pride, you know, took pride in being, made me very afraid. It made me feel that a diagnosis could redefine me. And would redefine me. So I was very stubborn and I was very resistant. Nevertheless, I still saw the symptoms. And deep inside, whenever I allowed myself to be honest, I would tell myself, I keep on saying I'm okay, but I don't think that I am. I would really just kind of secretly deal with it, but I could tell that it was affecting those around me. At that time, I was in a relationship. The relationship, you know, kind of just went down south. I was having a lot of trouble sleeping. I was having extreme nightmares. I was sleepwalking. I was having sleep paralysis. Because I wasn't getting sleep, I was walking around very temperamental and angry and exhausted and carrying just a lot of anxiety. And I kept on telling myself, you know, I'm okay. You know, it's just today. I didn't sleep last night. I wasn't asking myself, well, why didn't you sleep last night? I knew that I didn't sleep, and I knew that if I continued to ask myself questions, I would end up going back to like, well, you're not okay. But I needed to be okay. So I needed to tell the people around me, and I needed to believe it. So for the longest time, I resisted. But, you know, the symptoms just became something that I ended up normalizing until I realized that because I had not sought help and because I had not tried to heal, what I was afraid of in the diagnosis had already happened without it. And it was this idea that you're not the same person. Something is broken and you keep on ignoring it. You're not going to get better and you're not ever going to be the person that you were unless you start fixing whatever is broken.
Isaiah, what about you? What made you decide to get help?
Like I referenced before, it was that story I told you. Mm-hmm. That next day I went to my local VA and I walked in, and now most VAs have a section that's for older veterans and for Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom veterans. So I went to that section for the younger veterans. I was scared. I was like, I don't want to be seen as somebody who society might look down upon because I'm dealing with this mental issue. And they were so welcoming and receptive. And the stigma that I thought would be there wasn't there. The barriers that I thought would be there weren't there. And I started dealing with my caseworker, and I started going to group therapy. Group therapy for me, at first they put me into group therapy with a lot of older veterans who from the Vietnam and Korea era. But I didn't really connect with those veterans' stories and their experiences. I mean, the trauma of war is such that we all connect, but I needed to connect with younger veterans. So then I started going to counseling with younger veterans who shared my same job in the military. And then I realized that I'm not alone in this fight, that people are dealing with this who, for any other, all intents and purposes, look, quote unquote, normal, but are dealing with these issues on the inside. And I was so relieved that I didn't have this albatross around my neck anymore weighing me down. Mm-hmm. Because as Fidel was saying, like, not sleeping and the sleep paralysis, I know exactly what he's talking about, because I still don't sleep to this day. I still, when I walk into my apartment, you know, I have to check the bathroom and the closets to make sure nobody's in there. I know nobody's in there, but my mind won't turn off all completely from that hypervigilance. So I'm still dealing with it, but it's not as bad as it used to be a few years ago.
So Army veteran Isaiah James. We're also speaking with Navy veteran Fidel Gomez-Torres about their experiences with PTSD. Tomorrow, we'll talk about their experiences getting treatment. If you are a veteran and want to share your experience with PTSD, do it at hereandnow.org.